Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. A little gloomy. We're almost to the holiday, though. We're rocking and rolling. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll get to Bills Steelers. We'll get to Sabres Penguins as well. That's coming up.
Sabres as a whole here.
Tomorrow. Shaq Lawson signing back to the practice squad. We'll get to all that here in just a moment. But first... I wanted to discuss the atrocity that I watched last night for about half of it. Really, Derek, the question is, at what point is it more than justifiable to bail out of a bad football game when you have no rooting interest in it? Because Carolina and San Francisco last night was a terrible football game to watch.
All it is at this point, like if you have no investment in anything,
I know.
You don't even need to watch it for the standings, really, within the AFC, for example. It is your form of entertainment. So for me, the answer is whenever I feel bored.
I was kind of entertained for that first half, though. It was a tire fire.
No.
It was so bad, it was good.
It was so bad, it was good. I watched maybe an eighth of that game.
Okay. All right.
Nothing about it really kept my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other things that I could just do.
No, that's fair. I initially watched Syracuse-Houston because that was really fun. That game got to overtime. Syracuse could not even shoot 45% from the free throw line. That's why they lost, just flat out.
Make your free throws.
I then did get over to Gonzaga-Alabama. That game was very, very good. Gonzaga's such a wagon. They just need to win a national title, and they are considered a blue blood for me. I'll bring that conversation back up in March, but they're so talented every year. But I had to watch a little bit of Carolina-San Francisco. And I partially stayed. Derek, did you see this stat? At one point, relatively early in the game, Brock Purdy was 1-for-5 with 3 interceptions on throws 15 or more yards downfield. It was incredible to watch how bad of an offensive performance it was by Purdy. Because I should not say in San Francisco entirely. They were able to drive down the field at times and get into scoring position. Purdy himself was awful. And then Bryce Young, he never fails. He will have an incredible game that will make you buy into, man, he might be all right. He might be pretty darn good. He might have a career in the NFL. And gosh darn it, the next week he will prove you wrong.
The next week he'll be like, nope, there still is kind of a problem.
Here. Oh, man.
It will be interesting to know what his future looks like outside of Carolina because I think the Panthers won't pick up any sort of extension on him.
They should not.
And... it's going to be interesting to see what happens with his career going forward and what Carolina does at quarterback from then on. But I will say he is the truest of a high and low quarterback. He
almost ceiling, threw for 500 yards last week.
The high ceiling is there with him, but that floor is in the ground.
It's so bad.
It's in the ground.
Well, it's why, you know, going back to when the Bills played the Panthers, it's why some of us were sitting there going, you know, I actually don't really want to play Andy Dalton. Now we were proven
wrong. You said that. I did not say that.
Me and Mike Shope were on that, where we're both kind of like, I would actually, I think, much rather play Bryce Young.
And I was like, no, I think I'd want Andy Dalton. He's not good anymore. He's not Andy Dalton. He's not even a good backup quarterback.
But those are the Bryce Young floors where you get a game like yesterday where it's just kind of a non-factor. He's really a huge negative on the team. They can't move the ball. They had three turnovers or three takeaways, and they got 3 points out of that. It was awful. An incredibly bad football game to watch. And for me, I stopped after halftime. But the first half, I was just wildly entertained by how bad it was. Like, that's a way to actually get me to many football games is, hey, it's a burning pile of crap. You need to go watch it. I'll be there. I will be there for a little while. I'm not going to stay the whole time. Yep. I have better things to do, and there's better sports probably on. But I'm going to be there for a little while. The college
not
basketball
even just better
was
sports,
very good.
Better things. Like, you are a big reader.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not. Based on that game, I would have cracked open a book.
You wouldn't have been able to, I'm telling you. Because you would have had it on in the background with a little bit of the volume up, and you would have just heard Purdy intercept it again, and you would have been like, I got to lock this in. I got to lock in.
Except I did grab a book.
Oh, there you go.
Is it a Star Wars Expanded Universe book? Yes.
Yeah, you did something, though.
But I did read last night instead of watch that game.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, that first half was a good time.
And I'm not a big reader.
But a good time. It was frustrating for Carolina, too, because I'm like, they're not really good, but they might actually be able to jump in here in the NFC South.
I'm totally,
and they just looked so bad.
I'm totally happy when there's no investment needed in a sporting event to completely disassociate. Perfectly fine with it. I have no issues, no qualms with it. Like, do I need to at least keep an eye, like a side eye on it for this? Yes.
Oh, right, of course.
But that game was going so poorly, nobody's making primetime performance on this game. So,
J.C. Horn, if they would have won yesterday, would have gotten a shout. He had two interceptions.
Yeah.
If they would have won the game, he would have had a shout. But no, no. Yeah,
the way it was going, I'm like, I can keep a side eye on the box score. I don't really need to do anything here. I'm going to pick up this book that I've wanted to read for a little bit, and I'm going to start reading it. So, yeah.
Man, just what a game.
I learned of what the, I learned of a reference from one of the shows.
Oh, there you go.
Like one of the Disney Plus shows. And I'm like, oh, this is what that is. Okay, this is really cool.
You're like, this is so much better than
watching
Brock Purdy play quarterback.
And watching Bryce Young attempt to throw a forward pass.
Like, I would disagree, though, because I was enthralled by the ineptitude there.
Zach.
But understandable.
You and I also sometimes have a vast difference in our willingness to watch tire fires.
I mean, that's like one of my favorite things to do.
And
for me,
I could do so many better things than that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do in life.
That's why, like, I've never liked the reality shows or anything like that. Because,
Love is Blind. I mean, come on.
Look, if I have it more together than what I'm watching, that's not good.
No, see, I watch that to be like, you know what? You're doing all right, kid. You're doing all right.
Nope. I'm just like, okay, I have it more together than you do, and that's not good for you. that's not good for me either, but it's not good for you. And it's not good for my eyeballs that I'm watching this. I'm out of here. Like, never. Can't do it. Can't do it, won't do it. And that includes some of these football games this year. So, hell. The Bills have been guilty of this at some point this year. First three quarters against Miami.
Yeah, where it's just a disaster. And you're like,
If it weren't my job, I would not be watching this football game.
Yeah, it would be tough to stay. I mean, now that's the thing, too. The Bills also have had moments this year, at many times as well, where if you're a neutral fan, boy, this is exciting to watch. You know, Baltimore, Kansas City, those games were great.
As the victims, the first half of Atlanta.
Right, right. I mean, you know, like at least Atlanta, because you're putting up the performance. I'd even say Houston, if you're someone that loves defense, that was a game where, I mean, you're locking in and you're like, look at this defensive line and how they're moving and all that stuff. I mean, I do want to give constantly a shout to the Houston defense with how good it is on all three levels, just how they're able to just snuff out a game. It really, really impressive. But yeah, that is how week 12 ends. Bit of a whimper. And now we go into the Thanksgiving week of games, which I'm very, very excited about. It looks like we're going to get Joe Burrow back for Cincinnati. Not T. Higgins, though, and Trey Hendrickson. So that'll be something to watch. That's the night game when they take on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Cowboys have the Chiefs. I think that should be an interesting game because I don't think the Chiefs are particularly good, and Dallas is winning a few games here. They're on a little bit of a run.
That's right. The Chiefs and the Ravens both play on Thanksgiving in separate games. I can't get away from it.
No, here remember, we had them Christmas 2 years in a row too, so like the holidays have been dominated by those two.
I remember I made the comment yesterday of like, oh man, Thanksgiving's coming at the right time. You don't have to worry too much about anything. You can disassociate from the Bills and the playoff chase. No, the football that's on your television involves the Chiefs and the Ravens. At some point.
At least we have Packers-Lions at 1.
So I get to start my day right, though.
The Lions have really turned around the early window for Thanksgiving thanks to them being good again. Because
that was the game you'd often ignore.
Yeah, much of all of our lives, because that game usually started earlier, too. That was usually like a 12:30 start or something like that.
12:30. Yeah, I think you're right.
And for much of all of our lives, because that has been the Lions' existence, that was the early game where you're like, it's just on. Well, maybe we're cooking or we're traveling to someone's house or you're setting everything
up.
And
the Lions are proceeding to get their butts kicked 38-7.
And a lot of times, too, I mean, especially here in Buffalo, it's an NFC North rivalry game. A lot of times it would have the Bears on there or the Vikings or something like that. Like this year it's the Packers. And there would just be no rooting interest there. Now it's just the Lions are fun to watch. I'd want to watch any game of theirs that I can because they're really fun.
They're a fun team.
I also think they're kind of what I want the Bills to be. I know the Rams is sort of the easy one to go to for a lot of people now. And the Eagles, of course, with Howie Roseman. But I look at the Lions where they kind of do everything I want. The only difference is I have a superstar quarterback and their guy is just pretty good. I like Jared Goff a lot. There are also moments, though, where Jared Goff looks like the guy that got traded from the Rams and that ultimately Sean McVay thought
I
could do better.
And caused you to have a meltdown
watching a Super Bowl.
When we first started to become friends.
Man, that Super Bowl against the Patriots will live in
infamy with
me.
I will never forget that Super Bowl Rams-Patriots where you are just absolutely upset at Jared Goff.
Just make a play, man. Just move around. But now he's in a much better spot and it's working, but they have guys like Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown and until he got hurt, Sam Laporta. They are loaded with talent.
Brad Holmes is really good as a general manager.
Yeah, and they're willing to make moves and they get aggressive in drafts. And also to a certain extent too, I really like that they kind of don't care what other people are going to say. Like they do get the best players. Their scouting department's great because I remember like the Jahmyr Gibbs
and Jack Campbell both.
Yeah.
We're ripped on in that draft class of like, okay, why are you doing these things here?
Yeah, like, all right.
You invested premium assets in a running back and a middle linebacker?
The luster around the Lions is somewhat fading and stuff like that. In reality, no. They have hit it out of the park. Even Jameson Williams, though, remember, like he has a kind of rough start to his career with suspensions and injuries and stuff like that. And it's worked out beautifully for them. And they've stayed competitive throughout this. Really, their only issue to not probably making a Super Bowl out of the NFC is the fact that their defense is so injured all the time the last 2 years. Just constant issues there. We'll see what happens on Thursday. I'm excited to watch them always. But to the Bills. They are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday at 4:25. I think the line has moved now. I believe the Bills are 3.5-point favorites. I think this opened up at 5. They're now 3.5-point favorites at Pittsburgh. I will say, you know, this is a weird matchup. It is a 4:25 one. And it is two brands, the Bills being the newer brand, Josh Allen, they're always on primetime, they're always on television.
They're a little bit more the exciting group.
Right. Pittsburgh is sort of the grandfathered in. They've been here, they've done that, and that's, I think, why they're there. And both are, weird enough, in similar spots record-wise. I just, for me, you know, looking at this, trying to look this from the outside looking in, not as a Bills fan, not as a Steelers fan, but just, you know, kind of bird's eye view, the average fan, just kind of an game, really. The Bills are floundering. They're having real issues against bad teams, and especially on the road. Josh Allen's not putting up the Josh Allen numbers all the time. It's not that long ago that he did have a 6-touchdown performance.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not like that's not in his repertoire anymore. But then even for Pittsburgh, they're very irrelevant in the NFL, for being honest. They may make the playoffs, but they're going to get whooped on in the wild card round. So everyone kind of roots to play them in the wild card round because they can beat them pretty easily. They don't really have any young, flashy players that are coming up. It's a very old roster. And it is somewhat weird, especially after an offseason they did have where they did make some pretty big swings, like for guys like Jalen Ramsey and DK Metcalf. They do trade away George Pickens, but there's just nothing very flashy about them. And I think for me, the Houston loss for the Bills is a huge linchpin moment for this season. It is very much a fork in the road of you can either zig or you can zag, and depending on which one you do, could really define, I think, the legacy for many people within the Bills organization, namely, of course, the guys in, you know, the upper management areas, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. I think for me, though, where I sit, if you lose to Pittsburgh and you go to 7-5, they're probably still going to make the playoffs. I think right now they sit like a 92% chance of making the playoffs. It's pretty, even though they're in the last spot, they're in the 7 seed, they're in a pretty good spot. It gets dicey, though, when you lose to Pittsburgh. But I would argue I'm at a point now, and it's a lot like, for me, Jeremy's kind of big talking point of, you know, if you're 0-3, what's the chance of making the playoffs? Well, you're 0-3. Do you really deserve to make the playoffs?
Are you really a playoff team?
Where it's not the same, but I kind of have a similar feeling of, yeah, you're 7-5, you should probably be a playoff team, but is that really important anymore? Is it more important that we need to start this over? This has failed. You know, we're in year two of the quote-unquote retool of them. Last year was supposed to be this year where, all right, they're a young group, they're starting over, we're going to take our lumps, and they don't. They are the second seed. They go to the AFC Championship, and they're nearly perfect on offense. Allen wins the MVP, and everything looks great. This year has been, and we've talked about this a lot, this year has been sort of the opposite. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. They're picking up massive injuries on defense.
I wouldn't say everything that could go wrong has
in the sense on offense, it's now all of a sudden you're turning the ball over more. You're not getting more takeaways. Your starting field position is one of the worst when it was one of the best. Your quarterback, who routinely hasn't taken sacks, is taking much more this year. He's already surpassed the number that he had last year. And your receivers, who were okay last year, but you did need to make a move, now all of a sudden are just not good, just flat out not good at all. You know, Mac Hollins was at least a nice story last year.
Yes.
They don't even have that this year. And Dalton Kincaid, who has somewhat emerged, is still dealing with health issues and still dealing with the problem of staying on the field even when healthy. They don't use him a lot. James Cook is like the bright spot of the offense. And depending on who you ask, that's not really much of a bright spot.
And it's almost as if it's kind of it's not good that he is the bright spot.
Right.
Because there is a Josh Allen on this roster. And it brings me back to something. So a Texans player had said something about, like, they looked exactly like they did on film. D'Amico Ryans, as a matter of fact, also has something to say about this. It was a scheme we don't see much. Most of the time, we're getting a lot of chips, 7-man protection schemes. They really put a lot on the quarterback's play. Like, guys are going to have one-on-one matchups, and they were really hoping that he could escape the pocket. And I thought this was the best game we had of guys being in sync. It just tells me, again, if you're having a problem protecting with 5, you should be doing more to help him. And Joe Brady's not, based on those comments from D'Amico Ryans, the offensive coordinator, is not helping enough. He's literally just using the next step in protection is Josh Allen, go run and do something. And while I respect Allen's ability there, when you are getting a player battered around, he's going to leave the pocket before he has to. Because he is getting hit. He is getting sacked. His timing is now off. You need to do something to try to get that internal clock back. And Brady did not do that. In the second half, there were less chips than there could have been. There were less opportunities to do that. And the other side of the blade makes sense, though. This is the other problem. Because this is where it's both Brady and Bean to me. If I have more players in protection, I have to ask these Bills wide receivers to win one-on-one matchups. And if I'm the offensive coordinator, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I need to protect Allen. And I can't do that. Which side of the blade are you going to cut your hand on grabbing it is really what it turns into. So it seems like, yes, I know that coaching is probably abhorrent at this point. And this quote from Ryan's really said something about coaching and in particular Brady's scheme. But I look at the other side and I go, would you trust three receivers to win in coverage if I have to do a max protect scheme? If I have to have Knox chipping and or even blocking outright and maybe I get a running back out late?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking three Bills wide receivers to win battles.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's the roster too. You're like, they don't have the horses. They don't. I mean, they flat out don't. It's just, for me, it's both funny and tragic that really a big part of what the Bills have been, quote-unquote, trying to do is to take more off of Josh Allen's plate, right? To get it to a point where he doesn't have to be Superman all the time.
And
in reality, the passing game they have built is forcing Josh Allen to more than ever be Superman, be the MVP, be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just, it's incredible to me. Yeah, it's awesome. The offensive line is very good. James Cook is maybe an all-pro running back this year. And so he's been a very good running back. But the defense leaves a lot to be desired. And your receiver room is getting worse and worse as the years go by. You know, they have not properly replaced Stephon Diggs. Arguably, they have not properly replaced Emmanuel Sanders or John Brown. They've constantly also been looking for number two. They thought they had in Gabe Davis for a while. That proved to be incorrect. It's just, it. Look, I think Brady has a lot of problems, and I think the luster is worn off of him, and I don't think he is an elite NFL play caller, and I do want to see them do something different there. But I've said it kind of since the season, or before the season started, I did not know about the talent on this roster. And this year, I think that has been, for the most part, proven correct, even before the injuries. The talent on the roster is probably not there. I think especially on the offense. But on the defense as well, we're at a point now. I mean, you mentioned it. Once Ed Oliver's out of the lineup or Michael Hoyt's out of the lineup, they can't get sacks.
They've gotten one sack since Michael Hoyt left the lineup against Kansas City.
You know, we're re-signing guys like Shaq Lawson, who, for all intents and purposes, has not played football since 23. He is in one game last year for Carolina, in which he plays, what, 14 snaps?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's effectively not played football since 23. Now, he's signed into the practice squad. It's not like he has to immediately get elevated. But they're... Excuse me. They're in a really, really bad spot. And in many aspects, it is the general manager who has done a really bad job of setting up this roster for the second half of Allen's career.
I will say there is something interesting about this with – we mentioned the sacks thing. I had a tweet make the rounds apparently last night that I sent actually during this show yesterday. Ed Oliver's second on the Bills this year with three sacks. Ed Oliver played only three games and he's been out since week eight. We're entering week 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that the pass rush needed to be miles better. And a lot of responses about it of like, yeah, good thing they don't have like heavy investments in this position, right? And that's where I get more into where you are, Zach, about the general manager does need to hit more. Like really get some players that knock it out of the park more often. And get some of these higher ceiling type players because when you see it at the end of the day, wide receiver this, wide receiver that. I've watched the Bills with this management group do a much worse job of collecting a pass rusher or a top-tier pass rusher for this team. Greg Rousseau, that contract extension, looks kind of abhorrent right now. It's abysmal. It's kind of going to look like a long-term problem. Because why is it that Rousseau is not surpassing a player that played three games this year? Because the one player I could trust on the defensive line that is a superstar of sorts, or at least could be, is the one that got hurt. And Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver is that piece. He is that piece. He was also drafted 9th overall. And as Joe had played on the morning show, that clip of, I don't want to go through the bad times to get a top-tier player.
Yeah, how do you say it? Like the lean years?
Yeah, the lean years. If you keep going the way that you are, there's going to be a lean year in here.
Yeah, I mean that's where they're at. And that's where, look, again, they are 7-4. They're probably going to make the playoffs. I don't want to make it sound like all the time, but like they're actually like a 6-10 kind of, or well, what would it be, 6-11 organization. But they have hit a point where, yeah, I now agree with a lot of people that if Josh Allen were to get hurt for like 5 weeks, not even a season-ending injury, but 5 weeks, they would go 0-5. They wouldn't be able to grind out a win or
two. They'd probably go 1-4 because the NFL is weird.
I don't know about that.
You're telling me that the Cleveland Browns can win games with whatever is left of Joe Flacco against the Packers and...
I mean, look, it happens. I look at how this team operates.
The Jets win a single football game ever.
But how this team operates, they can barely win games against okay competition now with Allen. Now, if it's Mitch Trubisky, I just don't know. So I'm at that point now with a lot of fans where, yeah, you lose your starting quarterback, you're going to be worse off.
Either way, 1-4 is not great either, though.
No, but like that's my thing is just they are not a good team. I think a lot of the teams in the AFC are not particularly good teams. I think many of them are kind of surviving off of a few key pieces or good years from a bunch of guys. I think the NFC is really the crown jewel of the NFL this year.
Yeah.
But the Bills are in this position now with one of the weaker schedules, by the way, in the NFL. That is still holding true for the most part.
It is. Entering the season, it was a weak schedule. And going through strength of victory and strength of schedule, it's still holding up to be the point, and you're right about that. So it's something where... Yeah, this is a season that definitely has a little bit of a failure to launch, even with a 7-4 record, and it's frustrating to see at the same time.
Yeah, because the AFC is absolutely ripe for the picking. Absolutely. You match up very well against Kansas City.
And your
and
NFC...
And you may not have even played Baltimore, and to be fair, if you do, and I think this is fair, they seemingly always fall apart when you play them. Denver can't score, right? Indy's got Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback, and New England is New England. We don't know about them yet. But I look at the Bills in that same vein and go, everyone else is probably saying the same thing about the Bills of you can run all over them. And to be fair, if you just can cover their receivers, their passing game cannot get off the ground.
And even your NFC opponents were the South.
Yeah. You don't even play the hard NFC division. You don't.
No.
And so, like, with all that, 803-0550, the number to call. Where do you kind of put the blame for the Bills' issues this year? Is it more on Brandon Bean, Joe Brady, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen? You know, where are we at right now? They are 7-4. They are in a playoff spot. But, boy, it has been a frustrating season almost from the word go. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense Side-by-Side Fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.